Well, it's a real joy to be here this evening. We're excited about the meeting and what the Lord's going to do. This is my kind of meeting. Amen.
Amen.
Mission conference on steroids. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of John, chapter number 6. Book of John, chapter number 6 this evening. And I know that many of you are praying about what the Lord would have you to specifically do in your part of reaching the world with the gospel, how much he would have you to give. And I believe this church has been practicing faith promise for quite some time. But I hope that's not in name only.
That's right.
I want to ask you a question tonight. How much faith has it took to give your faith promise?
Yeah.
If it's not took any faith, then you're practicing in name only.
That's
amen.
Right.
If we're going to do it right, I think it ought to take a little faith to give what the Lord would have us to give. Amen.
Yes,
most time, it seems like anymore, what we give for faith promise is decided on a calculator.
Yeah.
But if you do it right, you won't decide it on a calculator.
That's right.
You'll pray about it and you'll let the Lord lead you. Amen. So as you make your commitment for next year,
will
it take any faith to give your faith promise next year? Amen. John chapter number 6 tonight, very familiar scripture. Thank you, preacher, for the privilege. Let me come be a part of this meeting, and I'm highly, highly honored. Found out this afternoon or this evening I might make it in Germany. Amen. That sausage was good. Amen. John 6. Again, verse number 1, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they amongst so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments, the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Father, we are truly grateful for the privilege you've given us to come this way tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for everything that's already been said and done. Thank you, Lord, for the tremendous message from Brother Sipes, Lord, and how you spoke to my heart with that. Thank you for the good singing and the good fellowship, the food this evening. It's been a blessing. But now, Lord, for the next few minutes, as once again we look into the Word of God tonight, would you please speak to hearts tonight. Lord, do what only God can do. And touch me afresh, if you would, and give me liberty. And whatever you do, we'll thank you for it and give you the glory. Lord, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And amen. Very familiar scripture with you this evening. And I may not say anything you hadn't heard before, but I'd be all right if the Lord would just use it. Amen. But what we read here in John chapter number 6, I believe, is one of the greatest miracles that Jesus did while he was here. Now, he did many, and many was not even recorded. But out of the ones that have been recorded that we can read about, I believe this is one of the greatest ones that he did. Now, I understand there's nobody brought back to life that was dead or anything like that. But I still believe this is one of the greatest miracles that he did. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One reason is this. All four writers of the gospel gave their account of this miracle. And outside the resurrection of Christ, that's the only one that all four of them wrote about. That says something within itself. Then this miracle also was witnessed by more people than any other miracle Jesus did while he was here. About 5,000 men, another writer said, plus women and children. So there could have easily been 15, 20,000 people that witnessed this miracle that the Lord did. And it had an impact. Verse 14 said, when they saw the miracle that Jesus did, said of a truth, this is that prophet. Had an impact. But here's really the biggest reason I think this is one of the greatest miracles that Jesus did, is that most miracles that the Lord did were miracles of restoration. When he gave sight back to the blind, he restored vision. When he gave life back to the dead, he restored life. This is not a miracle of restoration. This is a miracle of creation. He makes fish that's never been in the water. He creates bread that's never been in the oven. Only God can do that. One of the greatest miracles that the Lord ever did while he was here, and I noticed something real interesting about it. You do know that God don't need us. But I noticed something in this miracle. He allowed a lad to be a part of it. Not just watch it. Not just be a spectator. He got to participate in one of the greatest miracles that the Lord ever did while he was here. Now I want to make a statement. I hope you'll take this right. If God is going to do something, I'd like to be a part of it. Is that okay? I mean, I don't think I'm saying that for selfish reasons. I really don't. Biggest thing is God's going to be somewhere. I want to be there. Amen. But if God's going to do something, I would love to have a little part in it. Not so anybody can say, look what you did. There was nobody left the hillside that day saying, wow, what a lad. They left saying, wow, what a Lord. Amen. But I really do. I want to be a part of what God's doing. Are you interested tonight in being a part of what God's doing? We might ought to ask this question, at least to clear it up for some of you. Some's wondering if God's doing anything. If he's not doing anything where you are, there may be a reason for that. I read where he went through Nazareth. He didn't do much there. But it wasn't his fault. It's because of their unbelief. If he's not doing anything where you are, it's probably not his fault. I know it's 2024, and I know a lot of things have changed, and it's a difficult day in many ways, but I want you to know God's still doing some big things. Amen. He's not finished yet. Amen. I think tomorrow, if we're still here, he's going to do some big things tomorrow. Amen. And if he does, I'd like to be a part of it. Really, really would. And looked at myself and I thought, man, there ain't no hope for me. But when I saw this lad, I found a little help. If you're interested in being a part of what God's doing, I think there's something in here for you. All right. I looked at this lad. We're just going to take a few minutes to look at this lad. I like to do word studies. I ain't too good at it, but I looked at that word lad, L-A-D, and of course, I went to the English, and all I got from the English was, it's a little boy. So I went to the Greek, and the Greek word, I think, is pedarion. And you know what it means? It means a little boy. So I didn't do too good on that. So I gave up on the word, and I just started looking at him. And I don't know if I've done real good on this either, but I found a little bit of help right here anyhow. So let's look at him for a few minutes. I noticed this about him. First of all, he's little. Somebody just said, is that the best you got, preacher? Maybe. But now listen, don't give up. I'm not thinking about stature,
right,
size, or age. I've seen some other ways that he's little. He's little, first of all, in the fact that he's unnamed. You know his mama gave him a name, just like you got one. But we don't know what that is. I believe the Lord knew his name. But for some reason or another, they didn't put it in the scripture. They didn't let us know what his name was. Now, I don't know if this is going to help you or not. This helped me. You don't have to have a big name to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. I'm in amongst some of the greatest preachers in the world right here tonight. And they've been some of the biggest name preachers ever been stood behind this pulpit. And I'm thankful for that. But if you never get behind this pulpit, if your name is never on a sign, your name don't make a flyer, I got good news. You can still be a part of what God's doing in spite of anybody knowing what your name is. Amen. He's little in the fact that he's unnamed, but then I notice this about him. He's also little in the fact that he's unnoticed, or at least for the most part. I mentioned that all four writers gave their account of what happened that day. Matthew, Mark, Luke did, of course, John. I flipped back and I read Matthew's account. Do you know Matthew don't mention nothing about a lad? I read Mark's account. He's not in there. No lad mentioned nowhere. Luke don't mention no lad. The only one that give us any idea of where this bread and fish came from was John. Only one. And I know, and you're going to agree with me, this book's Holy Ghost inspired. But usually God used these men to pin down what they saw, what they heard, what they witnessed. And with that in mind, there's a good chance Matthew never saw him. There's a good chance Mark had no idea where the bread and the fish came from. Luke was probably never told where the bread and fish came from. John, probably the only one that even happened to recognize what happened and where the bread and fish came. I got good news for you. If you want to be a part of what God's doing, nobody has to notice what you're doing.
That's right.
You don't have to be recognized. And I'll be honest, you don't even have to have a pat on the back. Nobody has to give you a plaque and put it on the wall. You can still be a big part of what God's doing and nobody even notice that. That ought to be all right with you. If you're doing it to get noticed, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyhow. Amen. We do it so that he gets all the glory. He's the one that people need to notice. All eyes ought to be on him, not me and you. We're going to let the world down. We're going to let the lost down if they're looking at us. But they'll never be let down if they're looking at him. Amen. Nobody has to notice what we're doing. Amen. He's little. He's little in the fact that he was unnamed. He was also little in the fact that he was unnoticed. But I saw something else. He's little in the fact that he's unnumbered. The Lord's asked a question. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him because he himself knew what he would do. They said, why 200 pennyworth wouldn't be enough? Everybody have a little bit. They looked over that crowd and they summed it up. Don't look like they did a head count. Said there's about 5,000 men. When they sized up the need, when they sized up the crowd, looks like they were estimating and counting the men folk. Another writer said plus women and children. So when they looked over the crowd and summed up the size, and they didn't even count him. Here's somebody that got to be a part of what God did that didn't even count. I'm gonna add a little word, won't change a thing. Might help you a little bit more. Here's somebody that got to be a part of what God did that was no count. Amen. Here's where I found my biggest help. Because I'm going to be honest with you, as I know how, you're looking at one tonight that's no count. I ought to be in hell. But the good God of heaven, in spite of me being no count, lets me have just a little part in something real big. Amen. Amen. He's hope for us. He's little. I kept looking. I noticed a few other things. If y'all are okay, it's 8:44. Let me give you another little thought. I noticed this about him. He had to be listening. Had to be. See if we can picture the scene. 15, 20,000 people gathered around. Nobody's up preaching. Nobody's teaching. Nobody's demanding attention. What's fixing to happen is they're getting ready to have a meal together. And the Lord just got his disciples there and he has a little conversation with them. Did you notice this evening when got ready to have a meal, there was some young'uns running around. And they've some in one side and some over here and some outside. They're doing their little thing. Nothing wrong with that at all. It would have been no different that day. Young people's always been young people. Regardless of the age, the location, it don't matter. But this little lad, this little feller, I don't think he's way off yonder somewhere playing. Been fine if he had a been. But he had to be up there close to where the Lord was. And he had to hear that the Lord was looking for bread. Had to. How else did he know to offer his loaves and fishes? Think of all the voices that day. Think of all the noise. Now, of all them voices and of all them noise, he heard the master's voice. This is how he got to be a part of what God did. He heard the Lord speak. If you want to be a part of what God's doing, it's real important. Do not miss this. You need to hear what the Lord's got to say. It's one thing to hear the man, but if that's all you're hearing, you're not probably going to get to be much of what God's doing. But if you can hear his voice, there's a good chance you can have a part of what God's doing. Matter of fact, missions meeting like this, it's real important you hear the voice of God.
That's right.
You're going to be listening. In order to hear him, you're going to have to be close to him. I'm not a genius. I guarantee you he wasn't 100 yards away from where the Lord was. I don't even think he's 20 yards away from where the Lord was. I think he's up there somewhere real close to where Jesus was. And because he got close to the Lord and heard his voice, he got to be a part of what God did. Amen. I don't know much about y'all, but I do know one thing. You're as close to the Lord tonight as you want to be. Amen. The Lord ain't building no fences. There's no keep out signs or keep away signs. You can be as close to him tonight as you want to be. And if you're interested at all in being a part of what God's doing, you need to get real close to him and just listen for his voice. And when you hear him, you'll find out what you can do to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. He's little. He's listening. I noticed this about him. Also noticed he's limited. That's a big need. That's a big need in New Mexico. And yes, Brother Sykes was showing me the map out there this evening and all them numbers. That's just in our country. That's a big need out there. What can we do? So limited. You look at a map like that and You start really wondering, I mean, my goodness, what can I do?
Yeah. Amen.
He said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And that little fella said, they're looking for bread. He obviously had a little sack or a bag or a basket or something. And he looked in to see what he had. You know what he had? 5 loaves. Barley loaves. 2 small fishes. You need to understand a little bit about barley. I'm told barley was a poor man's grain.
Yeah.
Barley bread would have been a poor man's bread. One preacher said it like this. He said basically all he had about 5 crackers. And 2 little fishes, 2 sardines. He got 5 crackers and 2 sardines. And they 15, 20,000 people hungry. Y'all going to have to help me here just a moment. If that had been me, and I'd looked in and seen what I had, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't think too bad about me. I'd probably tuck that back away, and I just hid it behind my back, and I'd said, good luck. What have I got to offer? What good is this going to do? That's probably what I'd done. But ain't it good he wasn't like me? He didn't let how little bit he had to offer keep him from being a part of what God did. I get up, I don't get up in front of too many crowds like this. Especially when I get up in front of a crowd like this, you know what I'm thinking? I ain't got much. Preacher, it blessed my heart when I found out I didn't have to have much.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ain't that good? If we've got him. Amen. He ain't got much. But he got the Lord. There's lost souls all around this globe. Every country, almost every city and every village needs somebody. Funds are needed. And here we are. We ain't got much. Ain't many faith givers and ain't many faith goers. But we got him. I believe with all of my heart, don't try to discourage me. I really believe with all my heart, if we've got him, we can get it done. Amen. Yes, we can. He's just needing a little bit to work with. If he's just got a little bit, he's got all he needs. Well, to be honest, he don't even need a little bit. He could do it without our little bit. But he'll use our little bit if we'll let him. Amen. Amen. I got to hurry. Let me. He's little. He's listening. He's limited. Let me give you this little thought. I'll use the word cautiously. I don't like to use it, especially in the religious realm and the political realm. But I'll give it to you anyway. He's liberal. Is that okay? I mean, all I'm thinking of is I believe he gave all he had.
That's right.
Now, y'all bear with me a moment. If that had been me, if I had give anything, if, that's a big if. If I had, Brother Bobby, I'd looked in there and I'd seen 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I know me pretty well. I might have pulled out 3 loaves and 1 fish. That way, if I get hungry after a while, I've got 2 crackers to put a sardine between. I'm probably not going to eat a sardine anyhow, but. Let me ask you a question. If he had of only given 3 loaves and 1 fish, wouldn't he gave more than anybody else? Brother Sykes, he'll never convince me that nobody else had food there. You'll never convince me of that.
Right. Yeah.
What makes you think that? They're going to take up 12 baskets of leftovers. What's in them baskets? Don't tell me people showed up to empty baskets. These others had food. But he's the only one that offered anything. Well, let me ask you another question. If he'd only given three loaves and one fish, you think it hindered the Lord? He could have done it with that. But I'll tell you this, that little fella was glad he just went ahead and gave it all. Because you know what's going to happen here in a little while? His belly's going to be filled. Just like everybody else's will be.
That's right.
And I think it's possible he may have left more with more than a belly full.
That's right.
It's been debated and discussed, and theologians have their ideals. What did they do with them 12 baskets of leftovers? I don't know. One of my heroes preached it that there were 12 disciples and 12 baskets, and each one of them left with a basket. I'm okay with that. I don't know. But let's throw a biblical principle into play. You can't outgive God.
That's right.
Yep.
And with that biblical principle in mind, there's a chance he may have had to have some help carrying his lunch back home.
Yep.
Amen.
You ain't
going to outgive God. God will be indebted to no man. Nobody's going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I gave you everything. What I get in return? That ain't going to happen, friend. I believe he just went ahead and gave him all that he had. And he made a real good investment.
Yes, sir.
I want to think about this just a moment. I'm going to hurry and get out of the way. Look at him. Now the ideal thing would have been to get it to Jesus, right? I mean, he got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Lord's looking for bread. He probably tried. Maybe they had him surrounded. He couldn't get to Jesus. He did the next best thing. He goes to one of his followers, one of his disciples, and it's Andrew. I can almost see him pull on his shirt tail, can't you? Excuse me, sir. I don't want to be hard on Andrew by no means, but Andrew might have went, not now, boy, we're busy. Excuse me, sir. What is it, son? Can't you hear him? I don't have much. But you're welcome to it. How much you got, boy? Where's your trucks? I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm surprised. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm surprised Andrew took him to the Lord. But now, it ought not surprise us too much. Andrew's always bringing somebody to the Lord. He once brought Peter to the Lord. But he said, let's go talk to the Lord. You go over there to the Lord, and Andrew said, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I wish he'd stopped right there. But he threw his 2 cents in, and he said, but what are they among so many? The Lord just, there's no response from the Lord. It's not recorded anyway.
Yeah.
He takes what the lad gave. He don't just take it. He gave thanks for it.
Yeah.
I wonder if we've ever gave the Lord anything that he gave thanks for. He touched it.
Yep.
He transformed it.
Yes.
Have the men sit down. Now there's much grass in the place. So the men sat down, number about 5,000. Now that took a while. 15,000-20,000 people. The Lord said, have the men sit down. And can you see the disciples? Y'all sit down. Hey, everybody sit down. They got to get the word out. Everybody sit down. They start sitting down. The Lord reaches in to what that little lad gave. 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. And he pulls it out and he gives it to the disciples. Is that right? He's going to use the disciples to distribute it to 15,000 to 20,000 people. Ladies, help me right here. How long would it take to serve 15 to 20,000 people coming from one source. That little lad, I think, about this time, he has faded out into the background. Maybe that's why he's not mentioned by any of the others. He's took a step back. But you know this, he's watching. And the Lord is reaching in to what he gave. And he starts pulling from it. And he gives it to the disciple. He reaches in and he pulls from it. And he gives it to a disciple. He reaches in, he pulls from it. He gives it to a disciple. 15 minutes later, he's still reaching in and pulling from it and giving it to a disciple. That little lad said, "Wow, I didn't know there's that much in there." 30 minutes later, he's still reaching in and pulling it out. Could it be an hour later? He's still reaching in and pulling it out. I'm telling you, friend, you just give God what little bit you got, and God will work a miracle with it, and you can sit back and watch what he does with it. Amen. Amen. You talking about a blessing, getting to watch what God did with that? Say, preacher, how do we get to watch it? Prayer letters. Oh, yeah. Missionaries still send them. Whether anybody reads them or not, they still send them. Why don't you read one every now and then? And you can watch what God's doing with your little bit. Amen. He's little. He's listening. He's limited. He's liberal. I'm done. I want to say this. He's loved.
Oh, yes.
Where'd he get them loaves and fishes?
Yes, sir.
He's not the cook. He's not the fisherman. Somebody cared about that little feller and gave him to him. And all he's doing is taking what God's already given him and giving it back to him. You know what we're going to do with faith promise, don't you? We're just going to take what God's already given us and give it back to him and see what God does with it. Pray about it. How close are you? Can you hear him speak? Maybe that's the gist. If you get close enough to hear the Lord speak, why don't you crawl back to him? Run back to him. Whatever you need to do, you get close to him so you can hear him speak. And if you'll get close to him, he may not speak right off. Just stay there and listen. He'll speak. When he speaks, you'll find out how you can be a part of what God's doing. Let's all stand.